Today's workshop topic is steps 7 through 9, reaching out. Step 7, we will have Darlena speak for 10 minutes. Step 8, we will have DA, Diva Jill. And for step 9, we will have Jackie. So without further ado, please, Darlena, would you like to begin?
Thank you so much. And thank you for all of you that are showing up. And I really love this program. And one of the reasons why I love this program, because it always seems that whatever is going on in my life or whatever's coming up is always where I need to be. And so I finished step 6 yesterday, and I'm on step 7 today. And I want to say that I have been through the steps, DA alone at least a dozen times. And I'm always surprised at those people who say, oh, I've done the steps. You know, I'm finished with that. I'm like, you're finished with that? Because I need that like every day. Every day an issue will come up. Every day I'll dig in my heels. Every day I'll say, I don't like this. I'm going to take my dolls and go home. And then every day I have to stop. And I have to reevaluate. It's like, what is really going on here? You know, this is just not the way to resolve differences. And so when it comes to my character defects, I just had to work through the steps each time to the best of my ability. But one of the things that I recognize is kind of like, there is this, I know we're not supposed to be bringing in outside literature, but this is an Aesop fable, and he's been dead so long, I don't think you guys will mind. But there's a story in there about a traveler, and the sun and the wind get into an argument about who's the strongest. And so the wind blows and blows, and you know, the man holds his coat around him tighter and tighter, and the wind has him like rolling all over the hillside, but he won't take off his coat. And so then the sun says, okay, you know, it's my turn. And so the sun shines brightly and warmly, and the man takes off his coat because he feels warm. And for me, that's what character defects are like. There was a long time when I would just justify my character defects. I would say, I need them. You know, I'm defenseless without them. And I don't know how to live without them. And that was the issue. I didn't know how to get out of debt and stay out of debt. I didn't. And so I could get out of debt, and I did it many times. You know, I would deprive myself. I would create these budgets. I would be very austere, and I'd get out of debt, and then I'd get right back in debt again, because that was my character defect. You know, I would tell myself these stories about how deprived I was and how hard I worked and how much I deserved. But yet there were tools and there were strategies and there were techniques and there were things that I could do. I could be aware of my money. I realized that that was a character defect, that I have been taught that if you have to count your money, you don't have enough. And so I didn't want to be one of those cheap, stingy people that went around all the time counting their money. But if you don't count your money, if you don't know how much money you have, you don't know how much you can spend, and you don't have clarity, and you don't have peace of mind. So I had to let that go. And so for me, humbly just saying, you know, I don't need this anymore, God. I don't need it anymore. One of my character defects that showed up recently was wanting somebody else to do it for me. Wanting somebody else to take care of me. So I hired this contractor because I figured out, I'm a researcher, I have these trees that are really close to my house. And every year I was getting my roof patched, and finally found out that the trees have sap. The sap gets on the roof, then the leaves cover the roof, so the roof can't dry after rain. That dew comes in the winter in the morning, and the roof can't dry because it has sap and dew on it. And that's what's destroying my roof. So I need to have someone come and cut down those trees that are closest to the house. So then I interviewed the three people. I picked somebody, and then he came and he got into a hurry after lunch, and he knocked down the power lines to my house, the power box, and the power meter. And I was like, see, God, this is why I have to fight. This is why I have to take care of everything, you know? And then I thought, no, call the power company, have them come out here, have them do whatever they do to live wires so won't nobody be electrocuted and killed. This is your, you know, this is your lane. This is your house. And make sure that this contractor pays for the electrician, that everything's restored to the way that it was before, and stop giving yourself a pity party. Cut out the pity party. That's a character defect. I gotta have a party now because I'm hot and it's winter, it's summer and it's a heat wave and I don't have electricity. And so I noticed that my receipts were starting to pile up on my desk. I wouldn't put my numbers in. And I looked at my desk and said, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. What are you doing? You're feeling sorry for yourself. You're starting to spend and you don't want to look at it. So guess what? I grabbed those receipts off my desk because of my pity party. Now my electricity was restored. There was no reason I couldn't cook. There's no reason. I went to the grocery store, replaced the food. I wanted someone to come in and take all of that away from me. And instead, I went to higher power. And I went to God, and I thank God for all that I do have. And I thank God for giving me the realization, giving me the program to be able to recognize that I'm not really suffering. Yeah, I did 26 hours without electricity. Well, let's face it, people, there are people who still don't have electricity. You know, I still had my house. Wild animals couldn't come in. I could open a window and the breeze came because I still got 30 more trees. I really wasn't suffering that bad. And so when I think about character defects, I have to really be honest with myself. And I used to hate inventories because I grew up in a family where people would always say, well, what did you do? And I hated that. I wanted emotional support. I wanted people to feel sorry for me. And so I thought of inventories as being really punitive. Now I realize that inventories are really liberating, because they allow me to look at what is my part in this? What do I have influence over? What can I control? What can I do? And leave the rest alone. Give it to God. Give it to God. Focus on what it is that I can do. And the things that I can't do, I need to let those go. And I would like to say that I'm saying this to you today and hope that I would remember it tomorrow. But I assure you that if something happens that I don't like, because I like to plan, I like to know what's going to happen, that I'll be stirring in my own juices again, and then I'll have to breathe, and then I'll have to meditate, and then I'll have to say, okay, what's my part in this? What can I do to make this better? What am I going to have to turn over to God? Where am I going to have to ask for help? That was another area, character defect, that I had to ask God to forget me and to take away from me. I didn't like to ask for help. I was taught this kind of stoic tradition that you get out there and you just plow through it. You're a soldier, you know, and you go do what you're supposed to do. And so, thank you so much. And so when it comes to asking for help, it was my daughter, and she was 5 years old, and she was doing something. And I said, honey, you need to ask for help. And she says, you never ask for help. And I said, of course I do. She goes, no, you don't. I've never seen you ask for help my whole life. I'm thinking, don't stop saying that. I do. And she would not back down. And I realized that this five-year-old girl was telling me the truth, that she had never seen me ask for help. So she didn't know how to ask for help. Now she's an adult now, but that's still something she struggles with because that's the model that I provided for her. So I'm eternally grateful for this program. I'm eternally grateful for all the support. And I'm eternally grateful for the maturity to know if I ask for help and somebody says no or I can't, it's not the end of the world. So thank you for letting me share. And thank you for being a part of my recovery.
Thank you so much, Darlena. I think we'll move forward to the step eight speaker, which is DA Diva Jill.
Hi, group. I'm Jill. I'm grateful. I've been a fellowship member since 1989. I did have a slip, so solvent since 2013. And I wanted to know today if it was possible to share the screen.
I will attempt to find a way for you to share your screen.
Oh, okay, great. On a step eight, of course, the step is make a list of persons harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. And so eight-step work has a couple of components. And I thought what I would like to do today is share about those components and then also share both the list making and then as well, here, I'm going to share my screen now here. And then as well share about, let's see, can you see the shared screen now?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, awesome. And what I'm showing you here is three different amends lists that I made here. I'm going to put my pointer here on letter A. That's just a basic Debtors Anonymous garden variety eight step. And that's just here. This is a list of persons that I owe apologies to. In my case, it was my parents, my siblings, some family. And then also, because I'm a debtor, I also had some creditors that I caused harm by owing them a whole bunch of money. And so here I also made another column and again, a list. And as you see here, my parents appear both on the apology list as well as the creditor list. I owed my parents a whole lot of money and some friends and some institutions and my landlady and so this is just a basic garden variety paper amends list. And it's kind of in the traditional sense of the word adding the debt or, you know, the person to whom I owe money. And then once, since this is theme is sponsorship, I was told by my sponsor to rank the level of stress that the amends or the level of challenge that the amends was causing me. And so level one would be moderately challenging. The ones that I expected, probably a positive reaction, something like that. And the twos were maybe hard ones, but I could probably do it if I would pray, if I would get some support from my sponsor, from my posse, my support system. And the level three levels of stress amends, those are the ones that I would probably label like, no way in hell am I going to tackle this. And so, but I got told to rank them. And then I'm going to stop this screen share. And then I'm going to share you another screen now. And so this is the amends list again. And now you can see here, I've marked the level one stress levels first, because what I got told is do the simpler ones, the low stress ones first, because the idea is to increase the likelihood that I will follow through on these line items on the list. And so start with the ones that I feel like I can and will move on. And so that's part of becoming willing. And then the other piece of making the list and becoming willing, besides ranking them by stress level, and that is praying for willingness. And I got pointed to the AA Big Book right after step seven, where we pray character defects removed, is that I also make my amends list, and then I pray for willingness to go to any lengths to do my recovery. And that if I don't experience willingness on some of these line items, the direction in the Big Book on page 76 says to ask my higher power for the willingness until the willingness comes. So that's just a paper amends list. But now what I'm going to do is expand into some other types of eight-step work, which is making lists. In this case, what I'm going to do here is this is an action list made after a PRG. This is a different kind of amends list. And in this case, this was, I'm going to put my pointer on here. This was a medical creditor amends list. I was one of those fortunate people who was under the what's it called, the no patient dumping law. I had a catastrophic health event. It was deemed that I was dying. And by federal statute, the EMDs had to take me to the closest hospital instead of the hospital in my network. And so I was taken to a hospital with a catastrophic medical condition that was not covered by what I was insurable for. And so number one here, this is the creditor amends list, and these are all the amounts they billed me for, and then offer one, these were the amounts that they would lower and settle for because I was taken somewhere for an emergency and not covered. And then creditor list number two and number three, again, this is part of that eight-step work, making lists and then become willing. As you might imagine, I absolutely panicked. I was angry. I was full at being in this position. I was scared out of my mind. And of course, I felt guilty. I didn't exactly know what I had done wrong because I had no choice. I was told I was dying and I had to go to the closest hospital. But what I did was, again, I ranked these creditors and these amounts at the level of stress. And then I had to go through another PRG where I went through the application process to apply for financial aid to try to resolve these bills. And so I made another column there to be able to check them off as I completed the applications, turned them in. And
Jody, then, you have and then 2 minutes left.
Thank you. And then made other offers. And so the third creditor list here shows the second offer, again, another list, and the final offer down here. So I had a $132,000 bill and change that was negotiated down to $1,778. But breaking them down, making multiple amends lists and having multiple columns made the thing doable. And then also I did do inventories of the resentments, fears, guilt, and prayed the four-step prayers, again, to become willing to get out of my own way and take these actions. And then thirdly and last, I'm going to stop this share and just real quick show you one more thing. And this is another form of action list. This is an action list for a vision. And in this case, an action list for getting a higher paying job. And again, we rank them by how stressful they are, 1 through 3. And then on this one, on the next page, we actually put the no stress, moderate stress, hard stress, and compulsively, you know, the no way stress, in different columns so I can visually see what list I'm going to tackle, and that improves the likelihood that I'll do it. And then the other thing, again, is I was encouraged, oh, there my timer went off, to pray the follow-through prayers in the Big Book. And these are prayers throughout the amends section. And they're down here. I'll highlight them here for you. On pages 79 through 83, there are ask gods that allow me improve the likelihood that I will follow through. And so there, I'll stop my share. And so I hope today that I gave you a little bit of insight on both getting the list made, using the list to break it down, and improving with my higher power and my sponsor the likelihood that I'll follow through and complete each item. Thank you for letting me be heard.
Thank you so much, Jill. That was very instructive, and I love the way that you wrote it all out. It makes it a lot more relevant, or to me at least. So much appreciated. And next, we're going to move forward with the step 9, 10-minute talk from Jackie.
Hi, thanks very much, Mary. Thanks to everybody else who's making this happen today. So my name's Jackie S, and I'm a composer. I haven't incurred new unsecured debt since the 30th of June, 1998. And my home meeting is Penzance meeting Thursday evenings at 5:30. That's about lunchtime in America, depending on where you are. And we're in Cornwall, the bottom pointy bit on the left. Please join us if you get a chance. So I'm going to be talking about step 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. When I got into DA in 1991 in London, the idea of working the steps as well as the tools really frightened me rigid, and especially if you drew a graph of the stress I could see in the steps. It was like step 4, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, and then step 9, and it really, not a lot of people, we only had a very small group in London, one meeting in London in 1991, and not many people were working the steps. So I actually ended up working the DA steps with somebody in another program, which sounds really crazy. But the fact was, it took me a while. It took me to get over this fear of the overwhelmingness of step 4 and the shame that I thought I would get from working step 9. So I just worked the tools for the time and I did it a bit. But what I gradually realized over that year, this is the first time I did the steps, was that steps 1 to 3 meant that my higher power would be helping me. That having pressure relief groups would mean that I was actually already dealing with most of my creditors. That's the main creditors that were sort of like banging at the door. And that steps 4 to 7 and 8 and pressure relief group actions would mean that I was changing my behaviour for the better already. But even then, at step 8, I had my lists and I was still fearful of economic insecurity. And I was really worried that if I did my step 9 amends, I would have no money left for me. So, like other people have mentioned, I started reading the AA big book. And for step 9, it says quite clearly, we do not dodge our creditors. Arranging the best deal we can, we let people know we're sorry. So it made me realise that I didn't have to crawl in shame to my creditors. It was about being grown up and getting a fair repayment arrangement, as Jill has mentioned in great detail. So I didn't need to hurt myself, my relatives, or myself in the process of doing step 9. I didn't have to throw away I didn't have to throw money at my creditors. I didn't have to actually disturb my spending plan. I could repay gradually, and I could negotiate sensible deals, and I could look after myself in the process. And it's noticeable the AA big book also says we must lose our fear of creditors. This is something I don't think we talk about much in DA sometimes. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we need to go, or we are liable to drink again, in our case it's debt again, if we're afraid to face them. And that's kind of stuck in my brain. So I started my step 9 the first time with my step 8 list, and it soon became clear that I had to keep asking my higher power for the right time, the right opportunity, and sometimes amazing contacts became available in God's time, not in my time. And strangely, although it seemed like the most stressful, I ended up making amends to my friends and family and my partner first. And it was really clear that I would have to make these amends because my marriage is falling apart. And my husband could think of all the things that I had shortcomings about, even though he was in DA as well at that time. So I had to make an amends for forgetting my purse when I went out to dinner somewhere, so that he had to take the bill, being afraid to buy a home together, being unclear about what a financial burden my going to university would be. And of course, I had to keep the emphasis on self-care, on self, my actual self. He'd been a debtor too, so I had lots of things I could have taken him about, but I kept my side of the street clean and I handed his stuff over. And what was really interesting was at the end of that process, we still divorced, but I'd let go of a lot of shame. I felt grown up and I felt I'd actually grieved the relationship. And second, I didn't think I was going to be doing this second either. I used to steal stuff. I used to get into shops and I was a shopaholic and I would steal small items from shops, mostly in a fit of financial insecurity and resentment that I couldn't afford what I really wanted. And with my higher power's help, I sent letters and payments to shops and to market storeholders sometimes, and handed these things over. It didn't seem like it was a good idea to actually start turning up at shops and saying, hey, I stole something 15 years ago or even 3 years ago. So that seemed like a really good thing to be doing, and it gave me a great feeling of lightness. And then there were a whole load of people who I had to make amends to, and institutions who didn't exist anymore, and people who had passed. So in those cases, I usually gave money to an appropriate charity, and I would write a letter to them. And I would make a letter of amends, which I would either post or I would burn it or I would keep it on. And I just basically hand it over to my higher power, because there was obviously nothing I could really do anymore about those things. But one of the big things that I realized when I was doing it the first time was that I needed to make amends to myself. And this came out of not only working the previous steps, but also reading the visions pamphlet in DA and having visions pressure relief groups. And this helped me to discover what I actually really wanted in my life and what I denied myself by being in debt all these years. So the shortcomings that have been discussed in step seven, things like financial vagueness, under-earning, working in jobs I disliked, living in rented apartments when I could have been living in something I owned, putting creditors first, I had to let go of those behaviours because they didn't serve me. And actually the amends to myself were things like charging the right fees, working in a job that I love, not being a victim, taking proper holidays, saving for and buying items I wanted, and eventually buying a house without fear. That's taken me a long time to do, but I've just managed that in the last 5 years. So it's turned out to be quite interesting. So in conclusion, what I would like to say to anybody who has any doubts like I did about step nine was that it was much easier because I have my higher power, my God helping me, and that God gave me the opportunities sometimes when I didn't think there was an opportunity anymore. Maybe somebody I'd lost contact with. It was much more satisfying than I thought it was going to be. And the amends happened in God's time, and it really wasn't up to me in that respect. I still continue to make amends every time I work the steps, but sometimes I suddenly remember something like a book that I borrowed from somebody. I didn't have to ruin myself to repay others. And I actually repaid my major debts. I owed £96,000 in UK money in today's value, which I repaid over 11 years. That's about $132,000. But I managed to look after myself during that process because of this working through of how step nine would actually work for me. So I can thoroughly recommend and say that please frightened. Thanks very much. Don't be frightened of working step nine, and don't let it put you off working the steps, because as far as I have found in my experiences, the steps are a wonderful toolkit that we can carry around with us for the rest of our life, which we can use for every occasion, everything that might be going wrong, and sometimes everything that might be going right. So thank you very much.
Thanks so much to all the speakers. It was most informative.